Hello and welcome to the Career Changers podcast. I'm Elisa Martinic and I'm the founder and editor-in-chief of the Career Changers. I'm definitely one of them. I learned from my experience that following our dreams requires courage, self-awareness and a lot of inner work. I love to discover stories of career change and share them with the world as a source of inspiration for all those who are still searching. Career changes are not a straightforward chronology written in our CVs, but the sum up of our dreams, ambitions, failures, and successes. The Career Changers is an online community that aims to inspire thousands of people during their journey to self-realization. We discover and share inspirational real-life stories of career change. We inspire people that are thinking to change career. We support people that want or need to change career, but feel stuck or lacking confidence and clarity. We connect and collaborate with organizations that support career change across different industries. I believe that thinking to have only one job or career in our life is a limiting belief, unless the job or that career make us happy. Life is a journey, and with one third of our lives spent working, it would be unimaginable to not have a desire to explore new avenues. Welcome to the Career Changers podcast. Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Career Changers. Our guest today is career changer Shani Jordan Goldman, a registered dietitian, diabetes educator, and founder of Nutrition Cheat Sheet. At the age of 30, she stormed out her first post-undergrad job without any money or idea on what was next. And today, she's here to talk about her career change story. Hi, Shani. Thank you so much
for joining us. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, and I'm really happy that you are here. So hopefully you can provide inspiration to our listeners.
I hope so.
So let's start with your background. How did you start your professional life, or better, what was your first job?
I started working when I was like 15 years old. But after college, my very first job, I was a personal trainer. I was working in New York City gyms for almost 10 years, basically straight through my 20s. And that was really because I went to college without any idea what I wanted to do. And I graduated with like a really interesting degree that like, you know, there's no job for it. And I was like, I don't know what to do. I had a friend, he was a trainer. He was just like, you can totally do it. So I did it, and I did it. I was a personal trainer for probably about 5 or 6 years before I went into management, into managing gyms and things like that. And that's sort of where that first big out of college job unraveled.
Oh, so what was your dream job when you were a child?
You know, I really wanted to travel, and I don't think this existed when I was a kid, like back in the 80s. I don't think there was like travel writers. There certainly weren't bloggers. There weren't influencers or anything, but I always knew that I wanted to travel. And I always knew that I wanted to have an enormous amount of flexibility in my life. Like I sort of wanted to be able to get up and go whenever I wanted to and just see new places and be in like original, you know, interesting places that I'd never been to before. And I think without really being able to say it, because there weren't really words for it, I probably wanted to be a travel writer. I was really honest with myself back in the day.
So what did you do after that? I mean, you talk about your first work experience, but then what did you do about your education? What is your educational background?
I graduated my undergrad. I went to college. I got an undergraduate degree. I graduated in 2002. So quite a while ago at this point, just had my 20th college anniversary, kind of reunion. And I got a degree in American studies and Africana studies. And I loved it and was really interesting, but it's not, I mean, if I didn't want to be a professor, you know, there's not a lot you can do with this just information that's interesting, but it's not really marketable. And when I finally decided to become a dietitian, I had to go back for my master's. But because I had never taken a science class ever, I also had to do 2 years of pre-med prerequisites before I could apply for my master's degree, do 2 years of that. And then the process of becoming a registered dietitian also includes a 12, it often becomes, it's like a 1200 hour. So it ends up being around somewhere between an 8 and maybe a 10 month internship. It's unpaid. You actually pay to be part of the internship program. And only when you complete that training, that level of training, can you then sit for your exam, which I passed, became a dietitian, registered dietitian. It's not an easy process. You really got to be in it to decide to become a dietitian, especially as a career changer, and especially as somebody who had never, ever taken a science class ever.
So you, it seems you put your hours and the work to fulfill your dream. But this is just part of the journey. So as we say initially, you say that one day at 30, you storm out of your first postgraduate job. Well, when was the moment that changed everything for you when you actually said, I cannot do this anymore?
Oh my God, you want the story? I can give you the story.
Yes.
All right. So I knew that it was sort of over for a while. Management just wasn't my thing. I mean, there's a lot of other things that go into that. They had, like, the company I was working for had just transitioned to this corporate environment. It was, I mean, it was just sort of a moment in time that just didn't really work very well for me. So I knew that I was headed out, and I had given my, I think, 2 week notice or like end of the month notice or something like that. And I remember being so burnt out. And one day I took this like really long, probably like a 2 hour lunch break. And I came back in, and my general manager called me into the office, and he said something like, you know, we really can't have you taking these kinds of breaks. There's still work to do. And I was just like, I can't take this shit anymore. And I literally just was just like, I'm done. And just like up and left. And I had given myself basically that month to sort of like figure things out and find out my next step. But I mean, this is probably like 5 or 6 days after I had given notice. It was like really the beginning of the month. And I was just like, I can't do this shit anymore. And I just left. I left, like just stormed out like a 5-year-old. I was like, I'm done with you. I quit. And that was it.
Well, I guess that's what many people dream to do every day when they feel frustrated.
It. It was definitely not the smartest decision that I'd ever
Yeah.
made.
But it's a little bit of a fantasy to be able to do that. So well done.
I hate you and I'm done. I quit. It's like a big baby rolled out of there.
What steps did you take after that? I mean, you say you regretted a bit to react like that, and I think that actually that's a demonstration that probably you were already after the point of no return. So what did you do after that?
I feel like, you know, something like that is only a luxury you afford yourself in your 20s. You know, like I don't think I'd ever be able to just lose it the way I did at this point in my life. So after that, I just started to like really figure out what comes next. So a big part of doing personal training and physical fitness is food. Food is a huge component of becoming a healthier person in a lot of different ways. And I remember that, you know, the number one conversation that I was having with my clients at that time really had nothing to do with like how many minutes should they be on the Stairmaster or something. It was always just like, did I eat too many cookies? It always came down to food. It always came down to what should I be eating? What shouldn't I be eating? Am I supposed to? Am I not supposed to? It's a very diet heavy culture. You know, gyms are very diet heavy culture. So conversations around food are really top of everybody's mind. And I really enjoy food. Food is a passion of mine. I love flavors. I love all of that stuff. So somehow in my mind, it came down to becoming a pastry chef because I really liked to bake. And I was just like, I could totally do that. I would love to just bake all day, every day. And being a dietitian, opposite ends of the spectrum. But I like really got committed to those two ideas, and they just came down to food and my enjoyment. Like, what did I really enjoy the most? And what was my favorite part of being a a health professional in the fitness world, and it really was the conversations about food. So I could either have conversations about pleasure food, or I could have conversations that were a little bit more on the science side of things. And I happen to really like evidence-based things. Like, I like being able to state a fact and say, this is how I know it's true. Like, you don't even have to take my word for it. Here's an article. You know, it's researched. This is how it, like, do this because these are your outcomes. Like, I like things like that. So, you know, long story short, maybe the next year of just poking around, visiting different schools, being brokety broke, I decided that pastry school wasn't really for me. Like, the kitchen life wasn't going to be for me. I really wanted that flexibility that I had always wanted when I was a kid. I wanted to be able to change types of work if I wanted to change the type of work I wanted to do. Maybe within the same category of nutrition, I wanted to still have flexibility about what I did and when I did it and what kind of work I was doing within the con you know, within my job description, within my career. And ultimately, nutrition just became the better fit. Being a pastry chef is, you know, it's sort of a one-trick pony, but being a new dietitian and being a nutritionist, there's just an infinite number of ways that you can go about sharing that information with people who want to get healthier, with other new dietitians, which is what I do now, teaching. It's just, you know, it's an unlimited bucket you can tap into. And that was very appealing to me.
So you went through the process that took you to start your path to become a dietitian. Do you remember specifically when and why did you decide to become a dietitian?
Yeah, I think the moment, I mean, it wasn't as dramatic as when I quit my job, but I do remember becoming very clear that flexibility was a priority for me in my life, and being able to not get bored of doing the same thing for the next 25 or 35 or even 40 years was something that I valued a lot. And that was when the switch clicked for me, when I realized that nutrition is so multifaceted, and there's so many different types of dietitians out there who work in different places doing creative things or doing, you know, very like specific things that, you know, that would be the best direction for me to go in. And as long as I managed and maintained my credential, I could really have the flexibility to do almost anything I wanted.
So each of us, with our choices, can have a positive impact in the world. How do you feel you're making the world a better place?
I mean, listen, nutrition, I think we can all agree that nutrition is paramount to almost everybody's overall success in life. Like, if we're not eating well, if we're not sleeping well, if we're not maintaining a healthy physical form, then a lot of other things deteriorate. And I learned very quickly that, you know, there's a lot of different, like I said, there's a lot of different kinds of nutrition you can do. You can talk to people who like just want to lose 10 pounds, like just help me lose these 10 pounds. But then you can also talk to people that were just diagnosed with diabetes, let's say, and they just don't know where to start. They don't know where to start. They just need somebody to hold their hand through that introduction. They need somebody to just give them a little bit of guidance that they can actually use, because I think a lot of us, particularly women, have the experience with doctors who maybe are not as attentive as we would like them to be, or they're a little bit more brusque when it comes to answering our questions. And I wanted to be part of a bigger process that allowed people an opportunity to get clear answers to the questions that they maybe felt embarrassed to ask a doctor, or the doctor just sort of like brushed over, or gave them like a very vague or unhelpful answer for. Like, I really knew that being able to support people as they made that bigger transition into a more healthy lifestyle was something that was valuable to me and really important to what I wanted to contribute to the world.
So after the excitement of finding your new path, you also had to build up a new confidence while starting something completely new. And that's
Yes.
something that every career changer has to go through. How did you do that?
Oh my God, how did I do it? With like blood, sweat, and tears. That's how I did it. It was really, really hard. I don't know how much I have emphasized that I am not a science person. I never took a science class when I was there. I abjectly avoided science classes. And then here I am in a science heavy, like a hard science profession. And truth be told, it's still not my strong point. Some people do biochem and it clicks. They sit down and biochemistry and it all makes sense. And for me, I really had to work at understanding all of that. It was hard. I wouldn't even say that it was fun. I can't even, tell you right now that it's my favorite part of being a dietitian. It's absolutely not. It's one of the hardest parts for me. But I made it through by just commitment. I knew that I had an end goal. I had a very specific end goal, and the end goal was getting those two letters after my name, registered dietitian, the RD. That was the entire goal. So whatever I needed to do in order to get there, that's what I did. So, in my 30s, I did a lot of school, more school than I would probably wish on anybody at this point. And it was hard and it wasn't fun. And then it ended and then it was over.
So how did it feel to transition from a job that you didn't like to finally do something that you love, even if with its own challenges?
It was like a weight had lifted off my shoulder. It was like getting to the end of a very long, very narrow, very dark tunnel. And I think a lot of career changes are people who are in this m middle moment where they're not sure where they want to go. They know something's not right for them. They just sort of like feel compelled to make a change, but they just don't know what direction. There's so many options. Like, what do you do? What do you prioritize? Do you prioritize money, time, your family? How do you make that final decision? And I think ultimately it just creates this like very, very confining space where you just need to decide something. So getting to the other end of that decision just felt like it felt like a breath of fresh air. It felt like I had finally opened the window on a spring day. And it was really the beginning. I mean, it was hard. It was not easy. It was hard to make the decision. It was hard to go through the requirements and the rigors of being able to achieve that thing. And then coming out on the other end of it, being a new dietitian, entry level competing with 20-year-olds when I was in my 30s for entry level positions that really didn't pay very well. It was not, none of that was easy, but it all felt like possibility. And it all felt like having this opportunity to be a person that I had really been longing to be and had been unable to become where I had been at my last job.
So let's talk about nutrition, where you can share your expertise with us. So many times, there are so many aspects that can contribute to success in our life. And maybe there is not enough consideration on what is the impact on nutrition on our well-being, especially, I guess, when we talk about career, probably is about our mental performance. So in your experience, how can a good or bad nutrition impact people's careers?
Impact their careers? Oh, yeah. Well, listen, it's akin to going to a doctor, and I really and no, I take that back. It's more closely, I think, aligned with going to like a really good therapist. So we don't diagnose, and we don't like take your blood pressure every time you're there, and you don't come in with a specific complaint, but we look at the full picture. I think one of the best parts about being a dietitian, seeing a dietitian, having a dietitian on your team is that I've never met a single dietitian that looks at somebody without the holistic point of view. You're going to have longer and more in-depth conversations with dietitians than you're going to have with anybody else, maybe aside from your therapist or something like, but I always joke, you talk about food and you talk about money and people's life stories come out. You will start hearing all kinds of things about their grandmother and what their mom let them do in the kitchen and what their father ate when they were like, people will just spill their guts when you start talking about food because it becomes such a personal situation to us, which means that a dietitian really needs to look at the entire picture, the full body picture. You have some dietitians that look at labs. You have dietitians that do like very rigorous physical assessments on people. You have dietitians that do a lot more talking, a lot more counseling, a lot more lifestyle choices, decision making, things like that. So you can find somebody that fits what you need. I mean, easy is sort of like, you know, we don't want to say everything is easy, but there's a dietitian for everybody. We all have a different style. We all have a different way of approaching people. We all have a different specialty. And at the end of the day, you really can find somebody that complements what you need and then literally helps you baby step your way into a different kind of food choice dynamic.
So, what are the most common symptoms of bad nutrition?
The most common symptoms of bad nutrition. Oh, I mean, where do we begin? It could be as simple as just fatigue. People get very committed to fad diets, and sometimes there's really beneficial side effects like rapid weight loss. And the flip side of that is you can have micronutrient deficiencies, macronutrient deficiencies. Some of these things can directly impact your overall health. Some of them can cause less noticeable things. Like I said, fatigue is a big one. Sometimes skin issues become apparent. Sometimes just like not being able to focus as much can be a big part of that. And then, you know, also just in general, your ability to sort of maintain and manage a healthy lifestyle, whatever healthy means to you. So for somebody who has diabetes, that could just mean keeping your blood sugar in a really healthy place and it has nothing to do with your weight status. For somebody with kidney issues, it could mean getting up and getting to dialysis every other day while you're also like overhauling everything you're eating for the first time in your entire life. You know, these are all big considerations, and people have all kinds of things that are very important to them. There's dietitians that focus on disordered eating habits, which don't necessarily mean that somebody is, you know, very, very skinny and we really need to get them fattened up. But, or conversely, somebody is extremely overweight and we really need to lose weight. It could just be a very unhealthy relationship with food and being able to sort of step outside of that and being able to not just enjoy the food you're eating, because there's a lot of delicious food out there, but to also understand sort of like what healthy actually means and how can you bring that into your life that's realistic and long lasting. Dietitians, you will find a dietitian that can help you with any or all of those concerns or more. A lot of things I didn't even mention.
So we all know there is a diabetes epidemic out there, and you are a diabetes specialist. So what are the ways to prevent diabetes? Apart the obvious one, that probably is to avoid sugar, I guess, but it's not sometimes all there the problem.
Yeah, so the thing with diabetes is a lot of it's genetic. We can just start right there. I'm not saying that it's just all bad luck, but a good percentage of it is you have a higher likelihood of having type 2 diabetes if one of your parents or a close relative did. So that's a red flag, meaning something to keep an eye on. You just like you have people that die at 105 and they drink a bottle of whiskey every week and smoke three packs of cigarettes and are like, this is my nightly routine, guys. It just because it works for somebody else because they cut out sugar and now they never have diabetes doesn't mean you should never, you know, have a Snicker bar again in your life. Like it, the two things don't match up so neatly. So to really give you a realistic answer, as much as people hate this answer, it really is the truth. Moderation will always be a win. So sugar is okay in moderation. You don't want to eat five Snicker bars a day, but if you ate one Snicker bar a month, are you going to get diabetes? Absolutely not. You know, like you really need to just focus on the bigger picture, and the bigger picture being, you know, the healthier fruits and vegetables. You want your grains in there. And you want your proteins in there, and then sugar should be sort of a very bottom of the list side note.
So, what are the challenges that people with diabetes may face in their working lives?
Getting your blood sugar under control is just it's paramount. It's the number one thing. And for a lot of people, this can be very difficult, because we don't talk to people about what a healthy diet is in a very basic sense. You know, fad diets don't necessarily equate to a healthy diet. We don't have conversations about what a really nice plate looks like, with half of it being maybe plant items and a third or a quarter of it being some sort of like protein or animal item or whatever it is that sort of floats your boat in that regard. We don't have conversations with kids about this. We don't have conversations with parents about this. So when you're faced with making a dramatic dietary change that hinges on your like longevity, literally, it can be overwhelming. It can be very, very intimidating. You know, we were just talking about having a Snicker bar a month, once a month or something like that, no big deal. But now think about people that drink 2 liters of Pepsi every day. And it's just what they do. They don't drink water. They don't drink juice. They wake up with a Pepsi. They drink Pepsi for a snack. They go to bed with a glass of Pepsi. It's just what they do. And to help somebody transition out of that and to help them rethink the daily habits that they're doing in order to help make sure that they can function and go to work and don't end up in the hospital, don't end up with kidney failure, don't end up losing a toe or something, being able to not walk anymore. This hinges on the daily food choices that they ultimately make.
So, before we approach the last section of our episode, if anyone would like to get in touch with you, how and where they can find you?
Absolutely. If you are interested in learning more about becoming a dietitian, if you've got questions, if you have a niece or a nephew or a big brother or whoever, I am Shawnee. You can find me everywhere at nutritioncheatsheets.com, but also on Instagram. I have a YouTube. I'm very, very accessible. I try to make it very easy for you to get in touch with me. You can DM me. I get back to people as fast as I possibly can. You can also email me at Shawnee, Shani, at nutritioncheatsheets.com. I welcome questions. I encourage them. If you've got any sort of questions about what it means to be a dietitian, this is really what I do every single day.
So, reflecting on your own journey and experience, what type of advice would you give to anyone during their journey to self-realization?
Do it. Life is too short. Do it. Just like I think about this every single day. I mean, even now we're talking 10, 12, I think I no, almost 14 years later, I'm still thinking like, what's the next thing? Like, what else is there? Life is too short to do one thing forever and ever. There's so many interesting and fun things to do. There's so many ways to stretch who we are as people and to learn the things that we never even knew we loved to do in the first place. Like, the only way to do it is to try. And like, what's the worst that, honestly, what's the worst that's gonna happen? What is the worst thing that you're not gonna like it? And go back to that thing that you were doing for the last 12 years or something like that. Fine, whatever. It's not going anywhere. You can always go back to that thing you wanted to quit anyway. But you know, they always say when time is up and we're laying there taking our last few breaths, we never worry about the things we did do. We always are thinking about the things that we didn't do. And I would really encourage people to minimize that list as much as we possibly can, because we only get one shot at this. So let's make it a good one. Let's do it. Let's do great things together and stretch ourselves and have a good time.
Let's do it. Yes.
Let's do it.
And really, the last question, if you could give yourself a piece of advice, what would you say to your younger self?
It's so cliche, but I'd be like, no, like grow up and it's not going to be that bad. Like, don't be so scared. Even if it's scary, just do it. Just try it. Try like what's, and I literally, Alyssa, I remind myself of this all the time. Like, I come up with something, I'm just like, man, I'd really love to do this new thing, but for these 17 reasons, I don't think I can. And I always go back to that moment where I was just like, I just can't do it anymore. I gotta quit this stupid job. without having any idea what was coming next. And it always comes down to just try it. Like, what's the worst thing that's gonna happen? Just try it. Don't be a baby, Shani. Don't go do it. Try it. Just try it.
Well, thank you, Shani, for joining us today and sharing your inspirational story and wisdom with our listeners.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. I had a great time talking with you today. I thank you so much.
Thank you. We had a great time too. And hopefully our listeners can feel inspired by your story. And also, we want to remember to subscribe to our channel and tune in next week for a new inspirational episode of The Career Changers. Thank you.
Thank you.